recent rules don't bother me. Out with the old, in with the new, I say. No, Zeffy, put back that wildebeest.
Luck points have no place here, but you still have one, Ellie. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another one-shot. This one is going to be called Cartoon Physics. It's based off of Lasers and Feelings. Lasers and Feelings 1.4 happens to be released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. So, it can be remixed however we want. So, I'm doing that. But links to Lasers and Feelings will be in the show notes as well. I am GM. Well, I am Crash. I will be your GM. As opposed to I am the GM, I will be your Crash. This is fine.
Hey, I mean, we do have the one episode that's in two parts. Although Beth was the GM for that one.
Mm-hmm. No, you cannot. Funny as that would be.
Joining me tonight are two incredible people, Beth and Ellie, who are playing cartoons that may or may not deal with physics. So
physics is optional if it's dramatic enough.
All right. Well, Beth, tell us about your character.
My character is not named Utena, because that would be a copyright violation. She is named Raylene. She is a shoujo heroine. And the goal is to be heroic. You do the heroic thing all the time, heroically. Walking down the corner?
She walks down the stairs. Heroically.
Heroic.
She drinks her tea.
Yes.
Heroically.
Heroically.
She uses a blender. Heroically.
Well, no, the blender is for the remix of Lasers and Feelings. This is a blender mix, clearly.
Yes, but still. Actually, no, it's a swap one thing out for another. Although if I was really swapping it properly, I'd probably have the cartoon part be replacing feelings, but that's not what I did. Because cartoon physics, not physic cartoons.
Right.
It's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine here. Speaking of everything being fine here, Ellie, tell us about your character.
Well, my name's Shufi, and I'm a bit of an eccentric. I like to instigate things, and my character goal is to annoy new people and new societies.
Okay. And the plot for tonight, which I don't have a random table yet, so I took the first thing I could think of for each of the sections that would be in the random table. Billy Bobson III wants to win the animated derby, which will prevent the Toons from paying off their mortgage. Now, fortunately, as you were deciding what two strengths and what weakness your domicile would have, Ellie decided that it should be able to go fast. So you live in a mobile home. This is fine. Now, the mobile home is quite fanciful. The kitchen might actually be quite alive, made of plant life. There might be little glowing wisps of things that fly around that may or may not be tiny fairies. It's hard to tell. The animator didn't put that much work into them. It's one of the
all right, you can tell the one we're going to interact with because it's got better colors.
Mm-hmm. You made the GM do a spit take. Excellent.
Oh, I love this already. We haven't even had our first roll yet. The ink is still wet for the rules here, which is very bad because I'm looking at them on my monitor.
Well, at least you got the wet out.
I love this. All right. So your home is fast and fanciful, and it has a weakness of requires maintenance. So I'm
going to
ask.
All those little pixies don't come for free.
Some of them are very high maintenance. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's yesterday. All you wanted was breakfast, but you had to basically talk down one of the fairies who was having a very public meltdown in the middle of the living room.
It happens.
Yes. And it was all because one of the other fairies wore the same color dress.
It happens.
Look, you don't want to see a fairy do a meltdown. You got to sweep up all the fairy dust and reform her.
Uh-huh.
Well, no part of it.
It's very messy.
So that is definitely one kind of maintenance that took place. What's another kind of maintenance that had to be done recently?
Well, we had to empty the cigarette trays. I don't smoke. They just keep filling up.
My first car, I could never get the smell out of those trays.
Unfortunately, yes. It's just an animation cell.
I think the fairies are doing it. I think there's smoke on their off hours.
Could be.
The weird thing is, because this is all based on cartoon physics, when you open the cigarette tray, there is, like, when you pull it out, there is a pile of cigarette ash with several butts sticking out of it that is larger than could have fit in the closed tray.
Well, it just
pops out. Noir fairies. It's, when you switch to their perspective, everything goes high contrast.
It's true. Mm-hmm. I've done that once. It was very unsettling. And remember, kids, don't smoke. Because if you do, you'll have to empty the cigarette trays.
And they're really gross.
I'm just picturing at one point you're taking the cigarette tray to dump it outside, and a fairy's head just pops out with ash flying everywhere. They shake their head, more ash flies around. You look around. Uh-huh. Like, this isn't where I went to sleep last night.
No, it's Sheboygan.
We're in Montana.
Well, it is fast.
So you have the problem of having a mortgage. Welcome to the wonderful world of home ownership, or almost owning it, because mortgage means technically the bank owns it. However,
we seriously failed on our tune roll.
Well, you are retired cartoon characters. It's your your cartoons, your animated specials have had their last season. They are in syndication, but it's been a while, so you're not bringing in enough money to completely make ends meet. So, in order to keep up with the mortgage payments, you've enrolled in the Animated Derby, a race that is primarily run by other cartoons in a similar situation of someone in their 50s or 60s might look at the TV and go, oh, hey, I remember them. Or do I? I'm not sure I remember them. But in any case, the prize money should be enough to carry you through to next month at the very least.
I was wondering what this fellow wanted to wear, win a hat, had to do with our mortgage.
I think they usually put the hats on the horses.
Well, as it turns out...
Or maybe we race on them.
There's a variety of race cars, and we are using the word car very loosely because you're driving your house. And also, one of them does appear to have, like, the hood for the engine compartment is not there, and there are at least six horses that appear to be harnessed in. It's a 6-horsepower vehicle.
Of course it is.
Yes.
This makes very good sense.
Yes. The horses do appear to be robotic, though. So there's that.
Well, I mean, they're in an engine.
And they have their own engines.
Right.
It's Engineception.
Engine number 9, going down Chicago line. If the train should jump the track, would you want your money back?
I've played that GURPS game, and we didn't get our money back.
Well, it wasn't engine number 9.
I love the time we get to spend together. I really do. It's yes, I record this for other people to hear it, but this is for me. This is for me. So tell me, what does the exterior of your mobile home look like?
Do we have wheels or do we have legs? Is this is this like the RV of Baba Yaga?
Well, what's funnier?
I suppose that the RV of Baba Yaga with a whole lot of legs would be something. I mean, it's sort of like there's Cat Bus.
I just realized Baba Yaga has a monster RV. Mobile home.
Monster RV. Just in case Crash has never seen Cat Bus.
I have seen images of Cat Bus. I know that Cat Bus is from My Neighbor Totoro, another movie I've never seen it.
Right.
Totoro. So everything I know about it, I got through osmosis.
Cat Bus. Well, Cat Bus, as you can see, has a lot of legs.
Well, does your mobile home have a lot of legs? And if so, what do they look like? Chicken legs, cat legs, animatronic legs, pseudopods.
I think we'll take it easy on the animators. Make them wheels.
A whole bunch of
legs
wheels?
Legs made of wheels.
Wheels made of legs.
That's an idea.
Legs in roller skates.
As long as the animator doesn't have to animate them, except in the action scene.
They only have to do one walk cycle. They just do it over and over again.
Right.
That's true.
And they only have to make like one or two legs move because the others have wheels on them, so they just need a couple for propulsion.
They wouldn't even do that. If you're going fast enough, they just replace all the legs with a few ovals that they cycle through a few of them in slightly different positions.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you have it.
Okay. Now, I've described one of the vehicles that is the competition, and I have another one that I'll be describing shortly. But what is another vehicle that you are racing against?
It's probably a chariot with poodles.
A poodle chariot. Mm. No. You said a chariot with poodles.
Mm-hmm.
The chariot driver and their companion are both poodles.
And they're being pulled by poodles. Poodles come in many different sizes. You have the giant ones, and you have the medium-sized ones, and you have the toy ones, you know, the miniature ones.
But they like, wouldn't have the other poodles pulling the chariot per se. So what's going on is you've got the chariot, which is exactly what you picture when you think chariot. And it does have the tacking that goes forward to... Tacking might not be the right word. But you do have the part that goes forward to where the horses would be in a traditional chariot. But instead, there seems to be a lower flat control area that has several smaller poodles that are controlling various things, not unlike the bridge of a Star Trek ship. The two poodles that are in the main chariot portion that would have the riders normally are apparently the parents. There is a poodle who is giving off dad vibes. He's wearing a sweater vest. You don't see it, but you know in a pocket he has a pipe and he's ready to pull it out and put it in his mouth at any moment now. If it was raining, he'd be looking around saying, yeah, we needed this. He doesn't have a newspaper, though, because that brings up bad memories. The mom is constantly yelling out encouragement to her children, who are the ones that are in the control area of the bridge of this chariot. Mostly along lines of, you're doing great, sweetie. The one who's being referred to as sweetie is actually not doing great.
And that's who you got to yell the encouragement to.
They caught their own tail. There was that.
Raylene will also yell encouragement. You are doing great. Because that's what heroes do.
Oh, and because of what was written in chat by Beth, thank you very much. The mom is wearing a poodle skirt. Because of course she is. The dad, however, is wearing a poodle kilt. He hasn't said anything yet, but he might be saying it with a Scottish accent when he does. I will not attempt the Scottish accent, but just understand that it's there. There is a few more vehicles that will not be described yet. We'll worry about those later. That's a problem for a future Crash, or future Ellie and Beth, as the case may be. But the one that the bookies are currently giving the best odds to win looks to be... imagine, if you will, a Cybertruck and a stretch limo have a horrible, horrible child. Most of the vehicles, using the term loosely here, because again, mobile home, most of the vehicles with which you're competing appear to be hand-drawn animations of the similar that one might have seen in a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. But this looks to be something that an animator who just learned that 3D rendering software existed in the late 90s, early 2000s, put together over a weekend. And then had their boss tell them, no. Oh my gosh. What is this, Ellie? Is that a stretch SUV?
Something like that. It's from Top Gear.
It's got an extra... frame of, if not actual, tail end on. I don't
trust the structural integrity of the middle of that. Yes,
neither
it's got
I.
six sets of wheels, but two of the axles are very close together at the tail end.
I think that's a truck front.
That's amazing and terrifying, and also looks nicer than what I have just described to you.
Oh no.
Yes. One of the windows towards the back of this stretch cyber limo thing slowly rolls down, and someone with one of those pencil thin mustaches, where if they grew it out, they could be, and put a top hat on, they could be tying people to train tracks, but that would require effort, and effort is for other people. They look around, sniff when they look at the other vehicles, and then their head goes back in and the window goes back up again.
We have to beat that one. We must. They are very villainous.
I mean, they were giving off.
Hey, I ain't arguing. Hmm? I ain't arguing.
Good. I would not want to argue with my housemate.
All right. So everyone gets to their
starting
line.
Still say we should still say we ought to brought all those folks from the old folks home. That lady with the Jeep is a crack shot.
But they have their own Jeep.
And they had a bake sale to get to.
Right. They were busy.
The bake sale was a GM intrusion, which makes it even better. Oh, I love this. 99% references to other games by volume, and it doesn't get worse. It only gets better. Right. So, there's a little caption underneath because this is a cartoon saying, "See the Grand Adventure one-shot, true believers. Excelsior!" Thank you. I'm here all week. Not just because it's Saturday. Stock it. That is the back of my chair. Your scratching post is in a different room. No, I do not accept your rebuttal.
The princess is in a different castle.
Yes, I love you too. But claws go over there. Anyway. So, a turtle slowly walks out in front of all the cars.
Wave to the turtle.
The turtle waves back. A minute later, they begin walking to their location again.
Look, if they wave, does this possibly mean that it's time to go?
This is the race that started with a gunshot. They have a starter
pistol. Oh.
Yes.
Drat.
And you are getting looks from some of the other racers about how you delayed the start of the race by a minute because the turtle was trying to be polite. Okay, the turtle gets to the center of the starting line, slowly gets up on his hind feet, pulls out the starter pistol, takes the gun lock off the starter pistol, pulls one round out of a case.
Oh no.
Puts the round in the starter pistol, raises it to the air, lowers it back down again, puts on ear protection, raises it into the air again, and then does the traditional turtle thing of when they fire the gun, they go into their shell from the blast.
I mean, fair.
Yes.
Also,
all the racers head out. The turtle starts spinning in place in a cloud of dust. And now, for the next choice you have to make, how are you intending to start this race in a way where you are going to try to win?
Which of us is driving?
That's a good question.
I thought you were driving. Is the house moving driving without you driving?
Are the fairies driving?
Oh, the fairies could be driving.
With all of the, you know, a whole bunch of them pulling the wheel around and other fairies pushing down the...
Okay. So I'm going to say that's canon. The fairies are driving. They're the ones who are at the wheel. There's like five of them on each of the pedals. So 15 are running the pedals because this is an older house, therefore it is not automatic, it's standard.
Oh no, a stick shift. No.
Yes. There's one very burly fairy with a ton of muscles running the gear shift, and they are very happy with their job. The gear shift makes very satisfying ka-chunk sounds when you put it into place. But what are you doing to go faster than your fellow racers?
Inspiring.
How are you inspiring?
Up the sunroof and stand on the back of chairs and wave my sword in the air and go forward, we shall prevail.
Okay.
Honestly, whatever Shufi's doing is probably going to be even more effective.
All right. I am going to still require a roll for this. And because you are being very emotional, I would fit that under cartoon. Mm-hmm. So cartoon is for silly and or emotional type stuff. Physics is for real life or, you know, appeal to reason, serious stuff. And I think this fits under cartoon more than physics. So this would be a cartoon roll, which means if you're doing cartoon, you want to roll under your number. Now, your number is 4.
How do I do a roll on this?
Is Lieutenant Cobb Bucket running? It is. It's on. Ah. You got
the
it.
Roll command.
So you got if
no, that's not mine. That's Ellie's. Oh, okay. Type roll and then a space, and it'll give you options.
Ah, okay.
How patient do I have to be, Ellie?
It should be pretty quick.
No, it doesn't like me.
Just type slash roll. Don't type anything else.
I did it in a space. Type slash roll and nothing else. Okay. Nope. Okay.
I typed I slash roll and I got a number and sides.
Well, it doesn't like me. So I am going to bring out.
You can use real world dice too. Those are also good.
If you, are you using your phone?
No.
If you type slash, does it give you a list of commands?
Yes.
Okay.
Gift, tenor, shrug, table flip, TTS, me, spoiler, Nick.
Weird.
I love that we're not even using Foundry, but we still have a fighting with Foundry moment.
I got a three. I got a three on, I will.
Well, roll again, because we skipped a thing. In Lasers and Feelings rules, you roll more dice depending on different things. And your plan is to be inspiring. Your role is hero. So I would argue that you were prepared for this. So that would be 2d6, not just one.
Okay. I will just prove my first roll there.
We've got the one success.
So, okay. Get back to my dice and roll another one. A four.
Okay. You got a laser feelings. Or cartoon physics in this case. So, if two dice succeed, you do it well, good job. So, you do inspire the fairies, the ones who are in charge of pushing down the gas pedal, push it down further. In true cartoon nature, they push it down further than the floor of the vehicle.
It's probably a slightly squishy floor anyway.
There are now sparks flying out from behind your mobile home as it's going down the road because... they push it down far enough that it's scraping on the asphalt. This does not seem to be slowing you down. Ask me a question before I forget, because you got cartoon physics.
Can we cut off the villain? Can we cut off the villain?
If you get in front of them, possibly. But the back end of their stretch cyber limo thing, I'm going to come up with a name that I use more than once eventually, maybe. But I cannot be bothered to remember it because I hate that I thought of an awful thing and then made it worse. Well, the back of it opened up, and in addition to several people who seemed to be held hostage in there, two afterburners shot out and started blowing out basically a lot of exhaust, and it took off further than everyone else. Now, you are catching up with this, and what Ellie's character does might help you catch up further, but you can't cut them off yet.
Okay.
Okay. So, Ellie, Raylene is really helping out, but we need a little bit more oomph to catch up to Billy Bobson the Third. So what are you doing to help?
I'm in a lawn chair on the roof, using a slingshot to toss water balloons full of ink at other characters.
Because of course you are. This is wonderful.
That's an instigator. Okay.
You are an instigator, yes. Yeah. So give me 2d6. And your number is 5. So you also got a cartoon physics. You got a 4 and a 5. Okay. So you definitely succeed. There are several scars. Yeah. No, there are several cars. Cartoon cars, otherwise known as cars. Because portmanteau, you take the beginning of the CA from cartoon and the CA from cars. It's fine. It's fine. This works. It's like space spam.
Spam.
Yes. The poodle vehicle is one of the ones that veers off and starts sliding against the barrier because you're still at the opening part of this race. Some of the poodles are now black poodles before they were white poodles.
Blink, blink.
One of them appears to be a domino effect. It's okay, sweetie. You're giving it your all. We still get a participation trophy, right? There is someone hurrying over with several trophies for the puppies.
Aww. Yes, you can't kick puppies. No.
They're not kicking the puppies. No, they're giving them little trophies that they will.
Exactly.
They appear to be made out of the same thing that those, what are those called? Kong toys? I could be wrong.
Chewable trophies. Excellent.
Yes, they're chewable. Well, they're for puppies.
Right.
Squeaka.
The dad has pulled their pipe out. It is blowing little bubbles.
Well, I mean, yes, obviously. Sensitive noses.
Also, tobacco smoke bad.
Exactly.
Yes. All right. So, you have eliminated more of the vehicles that were in your way, so you are able to begin catch up further. And now we are reaching a point where you are neck and neck with this particular monstrosity from the late 90s. If you look closely, you can see where the pixels are for the angles because they didn't turn on dithering.
Oof.
Yes. You aren't supposed to notice those because it's supposed to be going very fast, but you are catching up to it. So you are relatively almost the same speed. Yeah. The window rolls down a little bit. You see the same face with the pencil mustache. They look at you. They sniff again. They look forward and say, "Deal with it, Simon." And the window goes back up again. And a different window comes down. And somebody who is, you're not quite sure how they fit into the door of the stretch thing, because their shoulders appear to be too wide for that. They have a low-set head with no hair on it whatsoever. One of those chins, like Popeyes, that juts out in front of the rest of their face. Although their nose is trying to extend beyond that. And
standard thug appearance. Yep. Cartoon yes. thug.
Exactly. They stick their head out, and also one hand with what appears to be some type of firearm, but cartoonishly drawn so that we're not picking on any one particular gun manufacturer because they have a lobby and could sue the animation company into oblivion if their weapons were used in a bad light. After all, villains have some principles, and the principles are, let me keep my money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So they pull this out and they're pointing it at your tires. So if this was Cypher System, I'd be saying this is a GM intrusion. What do you do to avoid this situation?
I hop over to their roof.
What are you going to do on their roof?
I don't know yet.
Okay. Well, I am going to tell you that this is going to be... Oh, this is tough. This is tough. Do we want this to be... Yeah, I'm going to still have this be a cartoon thing. The temptation to make this be a role that you have almost no chance of making is strong. But also, you know what? I forgot to ask you to ask me a question because you got cartoon physics.
Oh, that's a good point. Well, I would like to see how many differently colored panels on top of that roof there are.
There's three that are only slightly different colors of silver, meant to show that they are reflecting the light slightly different because they're at different angles. But as this vehicle goes around turns, the colors don't change with the light coming from a different direction, which totally breaks the immersion. But give me a cartoon roll, 2d6, to jump
so
from your vehicle.
So it's stylish and well animated.
Right. If you look closely, the wheels aren't turning.
Well, that's a failure and a success.
Okay, so one success. If one die succeeds, you barely manage it. The GM inflicts a complication, harm, or cost. You successfully jump to the roof. You were not expecting it to be this smooth. It's like you landed on a shark.
A cartoon shark.
Well, I say as my legs pedal under me, gotta get my cardio somehow.
Yes. talk about cardio?
It was Dio all along. So you slip and slide, you do the whole running in place thing for a little bit, but you end up holding on to some of the vertices with your, I almost said with your cartoon glove covered hands, but I don't want to put that on your character. However your character has their hands, that's what you're holding.
No, that's right. It's that kind of character.
Okay. I was getting that vibe, but I didn't want to speak for you. Right, so you are holding on for dear cartoon life to these vertices in a way that in real life someone would probably not be able to hold on to, but there is still a line there, so you can hold on to the line.
My favorite Toto song.
One with the force is with me, and one with the force is with me. Beth.
Yes?
What's your character doing at this point?
I will heroically produce a shield. It happens to be a large pot lid because someone has used my shield and not put it back where I left it, but I'm heroic. I have a shield. Therefore, I will have to use the shield and prepare to defend the car and the fairies, who are the ones who can drive.
When they went to get their license, it was a collective effort.
I mean, it kind of have to be.
The motor vehicle agency had a lot of questions. And every time they got an answer, they had more questions. But the line was getting long enough that they just passed things through. So I'm going to say this is, again, 2d6, but this is going to be a physics roll. You need to roll a 4 or higher.
I have a 6 and a 5.
Well, okay. So the gun goes off. It does the whole thing where the barrel rips into, like, it looks like a banana's been peeled. And the cyber thingy vehicle with Shufi on top skids 2 feet over to the side, away from your vehicle. Shufi does the appropriate sliding thing in the process. What am I reading here? The shield is in the RV. It's just all folded up neatly into a loose cone by the door. I needed an umbrella. It'll pop back out of the shape once you reach.
I'm not looking for a cone-shaped shield. I don't see it. I've looked everywhere for a round shield. So I've got the pot.
Yes. The bullet, or whatever that projectile is, does hit your pot lid and does the whole little bouncing around inside of it thing because it's a concave shape, and then flies off in a wonderful parabolic arc to hit another vehicle that was quite far behind both of you. You see someone spread eagle in silhouette flying through the air with the traditional "Wah-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-ee!"
Sorry.
And there's an additional explosion where they land. They're a cartoon, yep, so they're probably fine.
It'll all work out.
Okay. So this was your reactions to what Billy Bobson III's team was trying to do. I can't say Billy Bobson III specifically because he's not doing anything. He has people for that.
That is clearly his shtick.
Yes. Shufi, you are hanging on to the top of the worst animated vehicle you have ever seen in your life. What would you like to do now?
Hey, fella. I just was admiring your shooting. Wanted to make sure I gave you a cigar. That was a pot shot you could be proud of.
Oh, yep.
So you are going to give this thug a cigar?
Yes. In the classic cartoon fashion.
I know exactly the kind of cigar you intend to give. So give me a cartoon roll, 2d6. That's a 3 and a 4. So, sadly, no cartoon physics this time for either player who was rolling the past two rolls. But that is two successes. You do this well. You swing your hand down, put the cigar in this guy's mouth in a way where, like, your hand goes really far back into their mouth, but their mouth stretches to go with it. Then you pull your hand out. Their face bounces like a rubber band. But now they have a cigar in their mouth. The hand comes down with a lighter. You light the cigar for them. They, of course, breathe in because that's what you do when someone's lighting a cigar for you. It's the polite thing to do. And then the inevitable in this situation happens.
It's the boom, isn't it?
There is the boom.
I am riding the shockwave, like leaning back, legs crossed, hands behind my head, back to the top of the RV.
It does say for this, two successes, you do it well, good job. So I am definitely letting this be the result. There is what appears to be a PNG file with transparency overlaid on top around that particular window that the thug was sticking his head through. It extends a little bit further beyond the edges of the vehicle. This particular PNG file was not scaled for the vehicle. It's aftermarket. The animator could not be bothered.
Yes, well.
Yeah. Well, there were other animators, but it wasn't a union job, and they all got fired and replaced by an AI. You didn't count the thug's fingers, but there were actually 17 of them.
I mean, that sounds, yep, like something.
Seven of them were coming from the same knuckle.
Obviously, this thing came from, well, never mind. It would not be heroic to say.
It came from my nightmares.
Yeah, that too.
I just said, well, what could be the worst possible thing? This. Okay. How can I make it worse than that? Okay. Well, it couldn't be any. Actually, no, I thought of something that makes it worse.
Oh, no.
Well, every time I think of something that makes it worse, I make it canon for this game.
This is the worst car.
Where on the vehicle do you land, Shufi?
Back in my lawn chair.
Of course you do. It catches you like a catcher's mitt.
That sounds about, yep.
All right. So.
One of the perks of the job. If I landed anywhere else, they would have had to animate it.
The lawn chair has been animated many times before. They can use stock footage.
The animation of Shufi jumping into the lawn chair when the race started was reused again, with the background being slightly different because the car was in motion this time, so it was replaced with a looping background.
Yep.
But the cells of Shufi landing in the chair were the exact same ones. Still better than what you are racing against. So, you are neck and neck with this vehicle, although there is now a little bit more space between the two of you. How do you pull ahead?
Well, heroically. What's properly heroic? You said there were hostages, it seemed like, in that car.
Have I described this person in any way that tells you they wouldn't have people locked up somewhere?
In the back of the car.
Yes. Right below the rocket engines.
I feel like the heroic thing to do is to go rescue the hostages. I shall jump over onto the roof of the other car. But having learned from my housemate's situation, I am going to bring across my sword so that I may dig it into the roof of the car and keep my footing.
Okay. So, you are clearly doing this in a heroic fashion.
Obviously.
I am going to make this be a physics roll, but I will allow you to roll 3d6. So,
fingers crossed.
If you succeed for all three die, you get a critical success.
But I have to roll a 5 or a 6. A 4, 5, or 6?
Yes, your number's 4, so you roll 4, 5, or 6.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 4.
Okay.
1 success, 2 failures.
1 success, and it is a cartoon physics success. So ask me your question before I forget.
If the rocket boosters get taken out, will it harm the hostages, or, you know, if they just get like blown up in a cartoony way or something? I know my housemate. Or do the rockets have to be extracted in a more dentist pulling a tooth kind of way?
From your experience, if Shufi did it, it'd be a very wacky cartoon. Everyone's covered in black soot. They blink a couple times and cough and move on with their lives. However, you are from a shoujo manga.
Mm-hmm. I have different problems.
And there might be several episodes later where people are still talking about the loss.
I have to be more careful.
Yes. Now, with that said, it's not the part of the rocket engines that is exposed that tends to blow up. It would be the fuel. So if you were able to do something to disable the rockets in a way where the fuel doesn't ignite in a bad way, that could still work.
Or perhaps if I could drain out their fuel.
Ellie had an idea.
Yep, that works too.
I love referencing stuff that is not verbal.
Yeah, well.
But with that said, your one success, something goes wrong. Here's how it goes wrong. You do not slide off of the hood of the vehicle. You did bring your sword. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
You did see what happened to Shufi, and so you were prepared with the sword, and you stabbed down with the sword to make sure you don't slide off the what appears to be shark skin roof.
Right.
However, your sword is now deeply embedded in the vehicle. There may or may not be an olive that you've impaled from Billy Bobson III's martini.
I'd have hoped that this is happening, sure. I kind of hoped that I did. Fingers crossed. But, you know.
I didn't know it was that kind of show.
Quiet you. A black and white character just pops into the screen and says, "Good night, everybody," and goes away. Chased by copyright attorneys. So pulling this sword out may be Arthurian in nature.
That is a problem for future railing.
Okay.
You'll be king of all that car.
Definitely
never
a problem
before
for future
has
railing.
Anyone wanted so much to trade their kingdom for a horse or pretty much anything else.
Yeah, well. Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah.
So, we are going to go to a different roof. Shufi, what are you doing while this is happening?
Well, Raylene's in the way, but I had a different idea about the jet engines.
What would you like to do?
Well, personally, I was just going to jam the outtake. And you know what I've got loaded into my slingshot.
Technically, they're preserves, but they'll do. Okay, well, this is definitely wacky. Give me a 2d6 roll. A 1 and a 3. Okay. I think it's neat how they do crit successes where it's you actually need 3 successes, so rolling a 1 isn't it?
Yeah.
However, I keep seeing a 1 or a 6 for things to go like, hey, that's a... No, it's not.
It's at least impressive.
Yes. Now, did you say you were jamming the intake or the outgo? My mind is brain.
I was going to jam the outflow so it couldn't, you know, get the jets out.
Okay. So you fire, you launch this jar of jam, preserves, whatever it happens to be. You grabbed it from the larder, who knows. They're actually...
Well, the fairy says, my sandwich!
I was going the same way, that there's a fairy there with a knife that's covered in peanut butter, and there's a slice of bread in their hand, which is the slice of bread is comically larger than they are because fairy. That's just looking indignant towards you. There is a half-burned cigarette sticking out of their mouth. The other half is they're all ash and still stuck to the cigarette. They just got up.
Sorry, Jeanette. I'll buy a new one when we get them done with this.
So... 2 successes does mean that you do it well. So if this was a physics rule, what you're doing would have no effect whatsoever because the rocket engine would be burning away the jam. And there might be a wonderful smell combined with that of burning jet fuel. So it would still be bad, but slightly less bad, but still horrible. However, this is cartoons. So bottle of jam goes in. It... One of the boosters, the cone-shaped thing, which I forget the exact name for, but there is an exact name for, but the GM cannot be bothered, is covered in purple goop, and a large bubble starts to form around the cone as the exhaust continues to fill this bubble. Now, while it's doing this... The other engine is still going just fine. So that's making this whole vehicle swerve. Now, the one that you shot it into was the one that was closest to you. So that means that the stretch nightmare fuel vehicle of doom is swerving towards your mobile home.
Excellent shot. Now we can rescue the hostages. They can escape into our... racing domicile.
Magical girl Raylene, what are you doing?
I am digging in my completely impractical high heels traction as I struggle to pull the sword out of the roof.
2d6 physics roll.
1 and a 4.
Okay. Once again, cartoon physics. It is a success at cost. What's your question?
Have I managed to dig my impractical heels into the roof enough that now they're the things embedded?
That would certainly be a cost, so I will allow it.
Okay.
Because I'm going to say that your heels, they're magical shoes, so they have a lot of straps that hold them onto your feet in ways that are incredibly impractical.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't worry about that usually because you do a magical girl transformation sequence and they just get put on you.
Exactly.
As opposed to the live action version where somebody had to be in costume and makeup for 2 hours.
Yeah, well, I'm not the live action version, so you know.
No, and they reuse it's that transformation sequence every time. So they only had to animate it once.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, you do manage to pull your sword from the car. There is a small smear of olive guts on the blade. And from inside, there's a bloop sound as the olive lands back in Billy Bob's in the Third's martini.
Hopefully it will splash him because he's clearly such a villain.
One of his henchmen pulls out a handkerchief and dabs his face.
Sounds about right.
He wouldn't do it himself. He says he has people for that. We've discussed this.
Yes, it's why it's such a big vehicle. He has to have all his people in it.
Mm-hmm. There's his lawyer. There's his lawyer's lawyer. There's his secretary. The secretary's secretary. The secretary's secretary's understudy. There's a secretary of the car interior.
Indeed.
Secretary of the treasury.
Treasury of the secretary.
It's a small pool that's filled with cash.
Mm-hmm.
They swim in it.
Anyway.
So yeah, you're standing there heroically holding your sword into the air above you as your heels are embedded firmly in the cyber monstrosity's roof.
That is a problem for future Raylene.
I'm going to say it's a problem for current Raylene because I'm going to have you tell me what you're doing next before I have Shufi deal with the car heading rapidly towards Shufi.
I think that Raylene is simply heroically holding the sword aloft and wiggling her toes because there's a distinct problem here. Oh, well, no matter. Perhaps she will simply cut through the back half of the car heroically as soon as she gets in ready to do this thing in a heroic fashion without overbalancing in some horrible ankle spraining way.
Okay. Shufi.
She will declaim. Sorry.
She's
declaiming, I will free you in a heroic fashion, and now goes to Shufi.
Shufi, you hear one of the fairies yelling, brace for impact! As the stretch cyber limo is veering towards your vehicle at not breakneck, both vehicles are going breakneck speed, but this is starting to come towards you in a way that is somewhat alarming.
I will lean down over the edge. Hey, buddy, it looks like you're not enjoying this very much. Mind if I borrow it for just a moment and pluck the still sizzling, like, folded back cigar from Simon's mouth?
And
go back to the back of our roof and light the ridiculously long fuse on the rocket that's on top of our car. This is not a jet engine. It's one of those traditional, like, red tube and arrow rockets.
This is a season one Mythbuster event.
Yes.
I think it was season one. It was either season one or they tried
to. It was the second episode, I think.
There's a few things that they wanted to do for season one, but they couldn't. They were told they weren't allowed to, and they managed to do it in a later season. So I always wonder about that. But yeah, this is what you are doing. However, if I remember correctly, from 10 seconds ago, you said it was a ridiculously long fuse.
No, it's not a ridiculously long fuse. It's, you know, it is not going to ignite right away.
Okay. There is an impact. How do the two of you not end up rolling on the ground behind these two vehicles speeding rapidly away?
I mean, my heels are embedded.
At the moment.
My heels are just embedded in this thing. I'm probably not going anywhere even if I want to for a while.
Well, it's an impact that could break you free if you don't make a good roll. You're saying my drawback is my benefit, and
I'm probably Shufi, digging my
you dig your heels in more.
Yeah. Well, also I'm probably digging in my sword again. Whoops! Back into the olive.
That'd be hilarious if it happened. But I'm gonna wait for a roll to figure that out. And Shufi is going full static cell mode. It's basically Halo armor lock, but cartoon.
Saves money for the animators, too.
So, Shufi is definitely going to be a cartoon role. I'll let you do 2d6 for that. Where's my notes? For Raylene, it's going to be a physics role, also 2d6. A 3 and a 4 for Shufi, so no cartoon physics, but that's a success. 6 and a 1. You succeed at cost. Now, the roll was to not be dislodged from the vehicle. So you are not dislodged from the vehicle. I will say the cost is...
you got to pay $5.
You're already in trouble with the money.
The cost is when your heels give way, leaving two more puncture marks in the roof. So there's now a total of three, one from the sword, two from the heels. You flip heroically in the air and fall heroically through the air, and you land heroically, spread eagle.
On my butt.
On the giant exploding, expanding bubble of jam.
This is going to be a problem.
Fortunately, the pointy heels and pointy sword were not pointing towards the expanding bubble. But that is your current predicament.
Hey, you okay? You look shorter.
I will look probably from upside down, depending, somewhat balefully, in Shufi's direction.
Yeah, if you're happy with it. Hey, thanks, buddy. And I'll give Simon his cigar back.
You can't reach Simon. The vehicles are pressed firmly against each other. You could go downstairs and open a window and then possibly be able to give Simon his cigar back.
Then I'll go downstairs and open a window.
Okay. As you're going downstairs, one of the fairies is saying, "How are we doing over on the right-hand side?" And you hear another fairy saying, "We've got sparks. Okay, we got plenty of room then." You are, in fact, up against a concrete, but one of those walls that you see along highways that's supposed to, you know, prevent sound from getting to the houses that are on the other side. Well, your house is on this side, but it's trying to get to the other side. It has not yet broken on through to the other side.
Hey, good driving, ladies.
So the wheel's not doing much because we got a wall on this side and whatever that thing is on that side.
Well, the rocket's lit, so hold on. Before we go, I'll roll down the suspiciously differently colored window.
Simon is still sitting there in the exact same pose he was in when the cigar originally exploded.
Here you go, buddy. Thanks for the loan.
Two more bits of ash fall off the broken cigar. They blink. The window.
I will roll the window back up.
The best part is, I'm going to say this is an old-fashioned window, so you literally have to turn the handle.
Crank, crank, yep. Crank, yeah.
Remember, kids, when you borrow something, always return it. And I'll pick the umbrella shield up, pop it open with the shield like at the end of the stalk, and walk back up to the roof using it as a parasol.
But now we must go to Raylene. Because Raylene,
yes,
you are riding on a jam bubble that looks about to burst. Your home has a rocket mounted on top of it with a fuse that is getting very, very short. Like, it, the speed that it was burning when it was first lit, like, you cut away from it, you go back, it's the same shot again. You cut away, you cut back, it's the same shot again. So it should have gone off 3 minutes ago, but
it's
the
dramatic.
Animators keep reusing the same footage, so it hasn't yet. But at any moment, this plot point is going to run out, probably very soon, because Shufi just came back with your shield. So Shufi had it. Shufi is using it as an umbrella. You probably don't want to stay here.
No, but I'm heroic, and I have to rescue the hostages.
You still probably won't want to stay here if you want to rescue hostages or abandon car, using air quotes describing this thing that you're on. Either way, you're not going to want to be on top of this bubble.
No. Well, can I do an impressive flip to a location with my sword that I still have and try to jab the sword in between where the hostages are being kept and the rest of the car? Actually, no, I'm not going to jab the sword in. I'm going to jump forward in a heroic fashion and try to slice through so that there will be enough room to, you know, deal with things. This may be heroic self-sacrifice.
My pause is I am thinking about how this rule is going to be.
Rule of awesome.
Well, yes. Well, here's the thing. I will allow you a choice. You can try to have this be a cartoon roll, which is easier for you, and roll 2d6. Or you could have it be a physics roll and roll 3d6, allowing for the chance of a crit, but harder for the successes.
I'll do it the easier way. I don't trust the stats. 2d6. 2 and a 3.
Okay. You do this well. So you leap forward and slice the sword through the rockets and cut them free. And they spin off, spiraling, as anime rockets tend to do.
Mm-hmm. And trailing smoke.
Trailing smoke.
Suspiciously jammy smoke.
But then the rocket goes... because it was just the rocket part. The rocket fuel was coming from a different location inside the vehicle. So now you just have this rocket engine suspended from a hot air balloon made of jam, slowly descending to take out another one of the racers.
Oops.
It pops. That racer is covered bubblegum style.
Yes. You can't even tell what kind of cartoon they are because you just see the eyes blinking underneath purple bubblegum. That means this vehicle that you're on is going to rapidly decelerate because it was going so fast because of the rocket engines. You have exposed the two hostages that are currently hogtied and gagged in the trunk that is now completely exposed.
Well, admittedly, I'm kind of hoping that Shufi has like a fishing rod or something, but we'll see what we can do.
Shufi, what do you have?
Hey, desert fishing's the best kind. Nowhere else you can catch a sand shark, or on occasion, a cactus.
The cacti have all been turned into cubes and sent into low Earth orbit for totally unrelated reasons.
Yeah, that's why you gotta get pretty lucky. Sand sharks, much more common. Now, let me see. Get out my fishing pole. And while Raylene is doing her thing, Shufi is... Nope. That was Boo falling off my little desk side shelf.
Bye, Boo.
He's fine. He was just surprised.
Oh, good.
I'm assembling the fishing pole, opening my bait box, picking out the perfect worm.
While you are doing this, we are watching the fuse of the rocket that you lit behind you in this shot getting shorter and shorter and shorter.
Yep.
Because it makes it funnier.
Yep.
Cut back to the starting scene. The turtle who started the race is sitting in an actor's chair. Craft Services is seen behind them, and they're just saying, "Seems like a perfect expedient case of getting the line ready." Cut back to Shufi.
All right, here we go. And Shufi's got a fisher's hat on with the hooks dangling from it and hip waders on.
Your fishing permit is hanging from the hip waders.
Yes.
You're only allowed to catch 3. That's your limit.
Grab the hostages and call for help from Shufi.
The fishing permit expired in 1968, but don't tell anyone.
No, don't tell anyone.
The Rangers and I have an understanding. The understanding is, when I see them, I run away.
That's why
I always go fishing with a buddy.
For that, I'm going to let you roll a 3d6 to do this. 4, 4, 6. Well, no laser feelings. Well, there would not be any laser feelings. There's no cartoon physics, but that is a
critical success. And not a critical success.
Oh, no, it isn't because of the 6. That's right. It is a success, though. So the line goes out. The line hooks on the rope that's going around the wrists of one of the hostages. And when you pull on it, the one hostage scoops up the other hostage just from them being tangled together. Both of them smack into Raylene.
Grab on.
Raylene, who heroically grabs onto the line, but would be coming along for the ride regardless.
Yeah.
In a heroic fashion, but you'd be coming along regardless.
Hey, I believe this.
Yep, trying to do it with style.
Okay.
I wonder if the extras count against my limit.
Currently, your limit is supposed to be 0 because, again, the license expired in 1968.
Details, details.
Because they keep using the same footage from that one episode where you went fishing.
Yeah, that was a good episode.
It was. Nielsen ratings are pretty good for it. So, Raylene, I'd like you to roll 2d6 to tell me how you stick the landing. This is going to be, I'm going to say it's going to be a cartoon roll because this is deeply embedded in Shoofy's antics.
I've got a 6 and a 3, so
it's a partial success. So whatever I said would be a partial success.
I'm about to stick the landing, but if I stuck the landing, I would not be... I'd wind up like heroically posing on top of a hostage, and that would just be unfair. So I will have to attempt to heroically, if not dignifiedly, do a roll and probably wind up clinging desperately to the side of the our vehicle, or okay, the side of the roof of it anyway.
Well, order of
two out of three ain't bad. Uh-huh.
Order of operations, you were the last to be, not hooked, but the last to hop on to the line going forward. You're the first to land, and you do land heroically, but then you have to heroically break the fall for the two hostages.
Well, heroicness is often, but not always, correlated with dignity, and I would rather be heroic than dignified. I mean, okay. I try for both, but you know.
Well, you go down and they bounce off of you. One of them lands in Shoofy's chair.
With or without Shoofy in it?
Well, Shoofy was...
Oh, no. Shoofy was running over.
Oh, okay.
Shoofy was running back and forth with a fishing net.
Yeah. The other one lands in the fishing net.
Skills.
The rocket goes off. You speed ahead like a car with a rocket strapped to the top of it. Exactly like a car with a rocket strapped to the top of it.
Funny that.
Yes. I would like one of you to roll. Actually, no, this is going to have to be Shoofy because it's Shoofy's rocket.
I am under a hostage.
Oh, no, they bounced off of you.
Well, I need to grab them to make sure they don't fall off.
So here's what I'm going to do. Shoofy's going to have to make this roll, but Raylene, you may help if you explain how you help this vehicle not operate the same way it happened in Mythbusters when they strapped a rocket to the top of a car and they learned why that was a bad idea.
Because the rocket goes off.
Up.
The rocket goes faster. Oh. The rocket
There's
goes
There's a reason why they put spoilers on vehicles. And it's not to keep people from knowing how it ends. We know how this ends. Poorly. How do you help Shoofy make this not end poorly?
What's Shoofy doing so that I can figure out how I can assist from there?
Shoofy is standing next to the rocket with square dark sunglasses, a general's hat, and a long-stemmed pipe with a cork barrel clutched between their teeth. I love the smell of 1,000 D-12-3 model rocket engines in the morning. I know that's the wrong reference, but you got to get a gag where you can get a gag. And turning the rocket just a little bit on its mount to affect the direction. Hello?
By turning as in tilting it slightly, maybe?
Yeah, it's on a swivel mount. She's adjusting it.
Wow.
Very, very slightly.
Raylene is going to clamber over, take her shield, and attempt to use the shield as best she can. This nice shield of hers, magic shield, you know, to try to form a spoiler in a heroic, clever fashion.
Well, it's currently, its most previous use was that of an umbrella. And anyone who has had an umbrella outside when it was windy knows that it's great for directing air movements and also being directed by air movements.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, good idea with the bumper chute.
It's my shield. It's my magic shield. It was enchanted by Athena herself in episode 71.
Explains why I could turn it into a bumper shoot.
Probably.
Meanwhile, one of the hostages is still sitting in Shoofy's chair, arms bound, but they are holding the net because Shoofy shoved it into their hands, probably, with the other hostage in the net still. They're just watching this with their eyes very wide, wondering if they were better off in the trunk. Shoofy, I would like you to roll a physics roll, but you may roll 4d6. 5, 3, 5, 5. You got 3 cartoon physics, and it's a crit success. If I don't ask you to ask me my questions now, I will forget.
What's the road up ahead look like?
There's a finish line.
Already? Is there anybody between us and it?
No.
I have a question.
Well, go ahead. More the merrier.
Do we have to get our car across the finish line? Or do we have to get a driver across the finish line?
Yes. Unpiloted vehicles are disqualified. The only exception for that is if the vehicle happens to be sentient, then they make an exception for that because the vehicle is the pilot. Several of the racers were actually anthropomorphized vehicles. All right. Well, with your crit success, you do fly across the finish line. Quite literally, the wheels are not touching the ground, but they're still using the wheel spinning animation from before because they couldn't be bothered to stop doing that.
That's fair.
Yes. You skid to a stop and everyone cheers. 15 minutes later, the next car goes past and a bunch of others. And eventually, Billy Bobson III's stretch thing in the condition that it's in goes past, pushed by several of the underlings, including 5 different secretaries. They just all got behind and kept pushing, and they got it across eventually. So, you have successfully won the race. The prize money is enough to pay the rent for, well, not rent, mortgage for the next month or so.
Yay!
And there's a lot of cheering, which is a stock sound effect that gets used every time, of course. And that's
untie
where we're
the
going
hostages.
To
untying the hostages.
Oh. You're untying the hostages while you're on top of the little winner platform thing with the one underneath it.
Yes.
You're all there untying at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Billy Bobson III's lawyer is trying to say that because the hostages were in your vehicle, then they should also get a share of the prize money. This is not going over well.
I mean, if the hostages need a share of it, it just as long as we can pay our mortgage, you know.
The hostages are being listed as part of the crew for Billy Bobson III.
No, they're part of our crew. They were clearly stolen by Billy Bobson III as an attempt to sabotage our entry into the race. We have retrieved them. Heroic does not necessarily mean truthful.
Well, that's a matter for the courts, which means it's not going to be this episode, because Cartoon Physics Law and Order sounds like a very fun spinoff.
Boink, boink.
Yes. And on that note, we're going to end it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, everyone, for playing. This was Seat of Our Pants, but I think it was incredibly fun. I hope you enjoyed it, too. Who wants
had
to play
a
thing?
Eo's mom, right? Yeah, had a blast. Yes, we had a blast. Everyone had a blast. There were a lot of blasts.
There were a lot of blasts. And Eo's mom writes books. Right. Where can we find them?
Well, ElizabethMcCoy.com is the general place to find them, and you can also find them more directly on Smashwords if you look for Elizabeth McCoy, and I'm pretty sure the other one person with my name doesn't have any on Smashwords. I hope not. So, and speaking of cool things.
Well, AaronBSmith.com is where we put all this stuff and where I have various things I've created as well. So you can find them all there, including is.aaronbsmith.com/@cogwheel, which is how you can follow us on the Fediverse. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming, where you can help us keep the lights on, along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shanshen, Walter, Liv Drummond, and Patron Emeritus Sim. And until next time, this is Crash saying,
what do you mean? I'm not going to be in the next race. I'm not a cartoon. I'm a real dragon.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Gracie.